I know when I was a kid, the cartoons I watched when I was a kid are different than the cartoons today. A lot of the cartoons today have supernatural things going on in it, and you know, people are enamored by the supernatural. Today we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 1. Actually, it's the last verse of that passage, and we're going to be talking about angels. And so this is a, I don't know if I'm going to get through this message today, but I'm going to try, okay? There's a lot here, and I'm not going to try to be exhaustive, but at least where it pertains to you, I think there are some wonderful things that the Lord has given us in regards to angels that we need to be aware of. So if you would, I want you to turn in your Bibles, because we're going to keep referring back to verse 14, and so I want you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Although initially it will be on the overhead, we're not going to stay there on the overhead, but I want you to be in your Bibles, if you would, so that you can follow along. If you've got a pew Bible and you're opening it, tell me what page you're on so others can find it. Okay? Hebrews is kind of like the last fourth of the Bible. It's really near the end of the New Testament there. And so if everybody's got your own Bible and not using a pew Bible, and you know what? We've got so many pew Bibles now that they're probably different anyway. If you can see this, I would like for you to read this with me. In Hebrews chapter 1, we'll begin verse 8 and skip to verse 10 through 14. So let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. But to the Son, He says, "And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will be changed, but you are the same, as your years will have no end." And to which of the angels he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I come before you this morning. And Lord, we first just want to honor you and glorify you. Lord, we see in these passages of Scripture that we're not even going to touch hardly, that you laid the foundation of the world. You, Lord Jesus. We see also that there will come a time when all of the earth and the heavens that we now know will be rolled up like a scroll, and it will be done away with. But Lord, you will last forever, and you never change. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that we can count on you. You're not wishy-washy. You don't change your mind. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can count on you. We give you praise. Lord, today, as we look at what you've done in regards to angels, I pray that you would help me to be able to convey what you want conveyed today in a way that can be understood by the youngest person in here. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So, the first thing we see about in this verse of Scripture is that angels are created beings. Okay? They were not in the beginning with the Father or with Jesus. They were created beings. And so they're not to be worshipped. There's a lot of people who have angel worship and that kind of things, but that is not their role. Their roles are not to be worshipped. Actually, they are created beings just like you and I are. They have bodies, but not physical bodies. They have spiritual bodies, and so therefore most of us can't see them. Okay? There are some people who say they see angels and say they see demons. I haven't seen any of that. That's not my gifting. And so it's okay for me if I don't see them, okay? That's quite all right. But angels are real. The scripture says they are spirits. And they were in the beginning with God. And angels have free will just like you and I do. So that means that they can go AWOL if they choose to. Just like we can go AWOL if we choose to. And so, do you remember Satan, of course, he went AWOL. He chose to do his own thing. Actually, he was Lucifer before he became Satan. And so, angels have an assignment that God has given them. They have a special assignment. Angels were created for a special purpose. Do you know what that purpose was? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, is their purpose. Scripture says in verse 14, if you're looking at your Bible, they were created to minister to those who will inherit salvation. So who are they to minister to? Believers. Okay? And those who will become believers. Did you know that you had an angel assigned to you? You have an angel assigned to you. I don't know my angel's name. It might be Charlie. I don't know. But here's what I think regarding their names. I think that if they were to introduce themselves, you know, Larry Hamilton says he's got his angel is named Steve. His angel said, just call me Steve. And I think the reason they say just call me is because I think their names are probably so musical we would not be able to say it. So, if you're looking at verse 14, it says all angels were created to minister for us. Okay, do you see that? It doesn't say some angels. It says all angels. Now, Andrew Murray has a argument that I'd like to share with you, and I think it's probably a pretty good argument. And his argument has to do with the reason why Lucifer fell from heaven, the reason he rebelled against God. So he goes to this passage of Scripture, and he says that all angels were assigned to minister to human beings. And Lucifer didn't like that assignment because it's possible that in Ezekiel chapter 38, I believe it is, it talks about he was a covering cherub. Okay? He was a covering cherub. A cherub is there are two types of angels. One is a cherubim and another is seraphim. And so Lucifer was created a covering cherub. Now, who was he to cover? It's possible that he was supposed to cover Adam and Eve. But he's thinking, man, I'm made better than human beings, and I'm not going to serve Adam and Eve, and I'm not going to serve humankind. I'm done with that assignment. That's what Andrew Murray says. And I kind of like, man, I've never thought of that before. Because if all angels are created to minister, and they're created to minister for the human race, then that means Lucifer was created for that position as well. Right? And so I tend to want to agree with Andrew Murray, although there's not, I'm sorry, that was Ezekiel 28. I said 38. I want to tend to agree with him, but there's not a lot. Some of that is speculation, but something to think about. So while angels are assigned to minister for us, we don't get to tell them what to do. Okay? So I heard one fella saying, and this has been years ago, that he was telling his angel to get all of the heavenly resources that belong to him and deliver them to him. And I'm thinking, you know what? We don't get to do that. We get to pray to the Lord and allow Him to send whatever angels He needs to for us to do what we need to do in the meantime. So, how many of you know Larry Hamilton? Most of you. Well, he had been a nurse at the hospital, and now he's been assigned to the jail. And so, he was sharing with me a week or so ago about them. How many of you have ever been to jail? No, I'm not going to ask you that. But sometimes in jail there's a big chaotic mess going on. And they don't know what to do. So now what they do is they call Larry. And it's his day off. It's on a Saturday. He doesn't go in on Saturday. And they said, Larry, we need help. Because there's so much chaos in here. We don't know what to do. And so Larry says to the Lord, Lord, would you send my angel? He'll tell him, okay, I'll be in about 10 minutes. He said, Lord, would you send my angel to the jail and help get things fixed there? And he shows up and everything is quiet. And people are wondering, why did you come in today? This is your day off. He said, well, I was called. Well, you can go home now because everything's okay. It's remarkable what God does for His children. If I forget to say this later, I need to say it now. The Lord is not interested in sending His angel to do what you want done. Okay? He's interested in sending assistance and help when you're doing what He wants done. Okay? Some of you, we talked to, earlier, I asked a while ago, how many of you were discouraged this week? And probably 2/3 of hands went up. I wonder if we ask the Lord in that time of discouragement if He would send an angel to help us in whatever situation we're in. That He would send an angel to assist us. I don't know if you remember, in the Old Testament, there was a lady named Hagar. You remember Hagar? Okay. So, she was Sarah's handmaiden, and she had a child by Abraham named Ishmael, and Sarah sent her out into the wilderness. Before that, Sarah was so difficult with her, she just ran away, took Ishmael with her. But she went out to the desert, and there in the desert, she had no water, she had nothing, and an angel of the Lord came and said to her, Hagar, there's some water right over here. Go get some water, and I want you to go back to Sarah. So Hagar and Ishmael drank the water and went back to Sarah. So I just want you to know this. How many of you have ever been in a dry place spiritually? And you may be there today. Guess what? The Lord wants to refresh you. Sometimes, have you ever been in a difficult place and you think, man, Lord, what's going on? You open your Bible and something just jumps out at you. I wonder if that was an angel helping you at that time. You didn't know where to turn, but God just says, I need you to focus on this path. And something about that passage of Scripture just breathes life into you again. You know, I said I'm glad I didn't see in the spirit realm. I really wish I could. I really wish I could see what's going on around us. I bet you every one of your angels are sitting in here with you this morning. As a matter of fact, people have told me two or three weeks ago, we've heard angels singing while we were having our worship this morning. Now, I've not heard that from angels. I've heard that from people in here. I'm thinking, whoa, I wish I'd have heard that. So angels protect and deliver His believers through and from trials. Do you remember Lot? He was in a wicked place, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the angels came in and said, hey, guy, get out, get your family out. We want to protect you. You remember that story? And so Lot took his family. They left Sodom and Gomorrah, even though Lot didn't want to leave. The angel kind of took him by the arm and said, you're going with us, and took him out. There was a You've probably heard a story about a pioneer missionary named John G. Patton. He was a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. Hebrides Islands. Did I say it right? You don't know. You don't know either. So I can say it whatever I want to. And he told this amazing story involving protection and care of angels. So hostile natives surrounded his mission headquarters one evening. And their intent was to burn the mission office and burn the Pattons out, killing them. And so John Patton and his wife saw the warriors situated around, and they were filled with terror, and they began praying, and they prayed all night long that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see that unaccountably the attackers had left, and they thanked God for delivering them. A year later, the chief came to know Christ as his Savior. And Mr. Patton, remembering what had happened, asked the chief what had kept him and his men from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, who were all those men you had with you there? The missionary answered, there were no men there, just my wife and I. The chief argued that they had seen many men standing guard, hundreds of men in shining garments with drawn swords in their hands. They seemed to circle the mission station, so the natives were afraid to attack. Isn't that amazing? Only then did Mr. Patton realize that God had sent his angels to protect them. So the second thing you need to understand is that the prayer of saints move God to send angels to assist his servants. Okay? In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is praying. And actually, he's on a 21-day fast. He's praying because he needs some answers. And he's praying. And as he's praying, he says, In verse 5, I lifted up my eyes and looked. Behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like flashing torches. His arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. And the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Do you think that would scare you? Scared him too. Skipping on down. Then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day, 21 days before, that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. So Daniel, after fasting for 3 weeks, and it was not a total fast, he had water and vegetables. And after fasting for 3 weeks, the angel comes and he says, listen, on the very first day you started praying, God sent me with a message to you. 3 weeks ago. You know why it took the angel 3 weeks to get there? If you read that passage of Scripture, he says, I had to fight through the prince of Persia to get here. So there's some spiritual things going on in the heavenlies. And when our prayers are offered to the Lord, sometimes as we are praying, there's a battle going on in the heavenlies before we receive what we're asking for. And he says, it's been 3 weeks since God sent me, and if it hadn't been for Michael, the archangel, I still wouldn't be here. He's the one who delivered me from the prince of Persia. And so, thank you for praying. Thank you for continuing in your prayer. Because you know what? If we give up praying, I wonder what the battle, if that even continues in the heavenlies. So the prayer of the saints causes God to send His angels to assist us in our time of need. He helps us in our battles. He helps us in our battles. There was a king of King Hezekiah in 1 Kings who was praying to the Lord because he was surrounded by the army of Assyria. And as he was praying to the Lord, and Assyria had thousands upon thousands of soldiers against him, and he didn't know what he was going to do because he was not strong enough to go up against them. And so as he was praying and praying to the Lord gave him a message and said, I will take care of the Assyrians. And so Scripture says that he sent an angel of the Lord and 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were killed by an angel. What do you think Hezekiah was doing after that? Woohoo! Praise the Lord! You know, God helps us in our battles. And I don't know what you're going through right now. I know what some of you are going through because you've called me or sat in my office. I know that some of you right now are going through some difficult times in your life. You're going through some spiritual battles. You're going through some relational battles. You're going through a lot of different kind of battles. And I'm telling you that God will fight your battles. And He sends angels to help you. He sends angels to assist you. And if you don't believe it, ask Him, well, Lord, will you send an angel to help me? Do you know what He will say? Of course I will. But sometimes we have not because we ask not. Okay? So, the Lord has given angels to us to help us in our battles. Also, He's given us angels to help us in ministry. Did you know that God is concerned about people outside this church? Did you know that? So, I picture in my mind, and I think this is right, I picture in my mind going through town and then God, in His sovereignty, allows a person, he doesn't even know it, but an angel is guiding him towards me, and my angel is guiding me toward them, and then I'm able to make a connection with them and in time bring them to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So if the Lord, in verse 14, says, if the Lord says that He has given every person who's going to come to salvation an angel, then is that too far off that God would do that? No. As a matter of fact, probably there are people you're going to meet this week who God brings into your sphere of influence so that you can help them in their relationship with Christ. And they don't know they're being led by an angel. And you don't know you're being led by an angel, but you go to the coffee shop. Man, I just want a cup of coffee this morning. got to have a cup of coffee, got to have a Starbucks, and you go to Starbucks and there you meet somebody. Renee was telling me this week about two individuals that God just kind of brought into her path. She wasn't even expecting it. How did that happen? God and His ministering angels. Man, I wish I could see into the spirit realm. I wish I could see all of that. There's a lot going on in and around us that we're not even aware of. In Acts chapter 5, the high priest arose and those that were with him. Now, though the high priest was not a Christian, and a matter of fact, he was anti-Christian. And he didn't like what the apostles were preaching, and so what they did in verse 18, they arrested the apostles, put them in prison. But then that night, an angel of the Lord, say angel of the Lord, an angel of the Lord opened the doors and brought them out, and this is what the angel said. He didn't just free them. He said, guys, what I want you to do, I want you to go back into the temple, and I want you to start preaching again to the people about Christ. Now, the apostles didn't say, well, we just got arrested and we just got put in prison for preaching at the temple. They didn't say that. What do you think they did? They went back to the temple and started preaching again. And guess what? The angels helped them, ministered to them so that they could do that. Okay? Now, what do you think? So, the high priest and others went to the prison the next day to get the apostles out of prison. Guess what they found? Yeah, they weren't there. And somebody ran in and said, hey, those guys you arrested yesterday, they're preaching in the temple again. That had to freak them out. So they went and arrested them again. And they said, didn't we tell you, you shouldn't preach about Jesus? And they said, should we obey you or God? You tell us who we ought to obey. Should we obey you or should we obey God? And they didn't know what to do with that. So they released them and said, I'm telling you, don't do it again. Guess what the apostles did? They did it again. You can't tell those apostles anything. They're always going to do what God tells them to do. So they help them in their ministry. Another thing that they do is they encourage believers. In Acts 27, 23, and 24, it says, this very night there stood before me an angel of the Lord, of whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all that the... Get too fast sometimes. Slow down. Granted you all those who sail with you. You probably remember the story where Paul was on this ship and he was trying to make it to Rome, and they got in this big storm. And everybody thought they were going to lose their lives. And Paul, because of an angel, giving him this message, said, hey, guys, you're going to live. You're going to live. Don't sweat it. You're all going to live. And so he was encouraged by that, and so were those with him. And I want to show you this passage of Scripture, and then we'll go to our last point. In Matthew 18:10, it says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones, and some translations it says children, for I tell you that in heaven their angel always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Did you know your children have angels? Can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever had a near-death experience? Okay, about half of you. Do you suppose that was an angel that kind of took you out of that situation? When I was 9 months old, I held my breath for 15 minutes. I drowned. I was in a creek, and the car turned upside down. They couldn't find me. I was under the hood of the car. And they couldn't find me. Then God sent an angel. The only person at that time, from they had just learned how to do artificial respiration. And a military guy came by, dove in the creek, and found me, gave me artificial respiration, but I never did catch my breath until I almost got to the hospital. And they said I would be brain damaged because of lack of oxygen. So you know my problem. Now you know. That was God sending an angel. And the same thing for those of you who have had near-death experience, no doubt God intervened in those situations. No doubt. No doubt. In Psalm 91:11, for he will give his angels, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. I don't know why a Mississippi fella has to try to talk fast. It just doesn't work. The Lord will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. The last thing I want to bring to your attention is that angels escort believers to heaven. Angels escort believers to heaven. In Luke 16, you know the story, I'm sure. There's a rich man. Scripture says he fared sumptuously every day. And then there was a poor man who ate the crumbs that came off his table. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus died, and Scripture says, in verse 22, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. And then the rich man also died and was buried. It doesn't tell us anything about angels carrying him. We know from the story that he did not go to heaven. So here's what we do know. That when you are near death, you're not alone. Even if you feel alone, even if there's no one there, if you're a child of God, you can know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that you're never alone. When you're in a dry place spiritually, you're not alone. When you're in the heat of the battle, you're not alone. When you're ministering Jesus to others, guess what? You're not alone. When you're on your deathbed, you're never alone. And even when you feel alone, guess what? You're not alone. Isn't that amazing? So here's the deal. God, before in His mind, He said, I'm going to create human beings. But I know they're going to need help. And so I'm going to create angels to help them. And so before we as human beings were ever created, He created the angels. And I can, in my mind, I'm seeing God say, okay, angels, this is your assignment. I'm going to create an earth. I'm going to create men upon that earth. And then when I create these men upon the earth, you're going to assist them to be able to accomplish what I've called them to do. You got it? And they're saying, got it. Are you sure you got it? Yep, got it. He said, don't deviate from that. Don't deviate from that. And you know what? There were some who have deviated. And there may be some angels even today who go AWOL. And I wonder sometimes, if we're not involved in doing what God wants us to do, what's our angels doing? I wonder. I don't know. But if I was an angel not, and I'm supposed to assist you to do what you're supposed to do, and you're not doing what you're supposed to do, I'm thinking, man, I want to go do something. I'm getting bored. I want to do something. I want to help somebody. Or I think, maybe not this is not as important as I thought it was. I want to read this passage of Scripture to you. And I'm sorry, I keep saying in closing, but so in Jude, and this is a little bitty tiny book, right before Revelation. It only has one chapter. Verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain or fulfill their assignment, but left their assigned post, left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. There's a tremendous consequence for angels who don't fulfill their assignment. The angels who do not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. When we get to heaven, remember the great white throne judgment? Everybody, Scripture says, everybody is going to be there. We're going to look down the line. We're going to see President Trump there. We're going to see President Obama there. We're going to see George Washington there. We're going to see Herod, King Herod there. We're going to see him. But there's going to be some individuals who are going to be in chains. We're going to see that. Mark my word. We're going to see that. And that's these messengers who were given an assignment and did not complete their assignment. This passage of Scripture scares me because that word angels is... The Greek word is angelos, and it actually means messenger. And in my mind, I'm thinking, what if God has given an assignment to a man of God, called him to preach, and he has twisted the word of God for his own benefit? Are they some of those that we're going to see in the judgment, bound in chains? I think probably so. That passage scares me. And I try with all of my heart to discern God's word correctly so I can give it correctly. You know, all of us make mistakes, right? And I've said things I've wished, man, that was stupid. I wish I had a credit, but it was just because I didn't know better. But I never try to intentionally lead anybody astray. But there are some who do, probably for own personal gain. And there are some horrible consequences for that. So what? I I would encourage you. I wish we could see it in the heavenly realm. But I want to encourage you as children of God, for those who have angels assigned to them, to not only think about your own personal well-being and good, look and see what God is doing and bringing, who God is bringing into your sphere of influence and how you can be a minister of God as well. Okay? Don't let your angels just twiddle their thumbs wondering what's next. Get involved. Begin doing what you know God would have you do. And perhaps this morning you're here and your angel led you here. And you were not planning to come. You said, well, I'll just go this morning. Guess what? Probably your angel. And he led you here so that you could hear the gospel message and receive Jesus Christ as your first friend. God is a God of hope. A God of hope. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a God of hope. And as you believe, and as you move into that, even more hope comes to you. Can you, this morning, can you believe that God is doing something in and around you? Can you believe that? And this morning, would you make a commitment to the Lord that, God, I'm going to be a better minister of yours and not just think about my own stuff. Can you do that? Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, I'm so grateful to you for the ministering angels that you brought into our midst. And Lord, there's no greater thrill than being able to be at your business. And so, Lord, I come before you this morning and I'm just asking you, Lord, to have your will and your way in our hearts. Lord, it's just to even think about you beforehand, creating spiritual beings to help us out. It's just amazing. But Lord, we're also aware that there's some fallen angels who try to lead us in the wrong way. And so I'm praying, God, today that we will be more sensitive to you and your guidance, your leadership, than we are those who are trying to lead us astray. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs to commit their lives to you, I pray that they'd do it before they leave today. In Jesus' name.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand.
Come, let us worship.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand.
Amen. Thank you. The Lord bless you. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward and get communication cards and drop them in the place.
Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are and your love for us. You created us and created angels to watch over us. We always had contact, Lord, but there have been times when awareness of situation, especially in my life, Lord, that can't explain it. Save me from a bad situation. I thank you, Lord, for thinking of each one of us, each and every one of us. We ask, Lord, that your guidance and direction will lead our hearts to you, closer to you, and to other people who need you. We ask, Lord, for your blessings.
As those are being passed out,
the last Sunday of this month we're having a membership class, and if you want to be a part of that, put on your communication card, membership, so I'll know how many books to prepare. Okay? I know that's like short order. I've already got you guys down.
Do we have class tonight?
Pardon?
Class tonight?
Class tonight, yeah, 6 o'clock, we're going to be continuing the study of sharing Jesus without freaking out. And so that's at 6 o'clock. Okay?
The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved.
Blessed be the name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High.
Amen.
White sticker.
Oh. Sticker.
Thank you.
head against the wall.
Mark.
And I missed A minor 3 times. I just, oh.
It's okay. I missed it while the sixth grade myself.
Yeah, I picked the same grade the wrong times, too. That messed up.